Good afternoon. So this morning I told you that I was feeling a little foggy brained, and if my sermon didn't make any sense, that was kind of why. I actually feel pretty good now, so if my sermon makes no sense now, I have no excuse. And hopefully that's not what happens. I'd like to talk a little bit this afternoon about profanity. And I know what you're thinking. I feel pretty confident 95% of you thought about bad words. Well, if you take like the New American Standard and you go through the New American Standard looking at the word profanity, you won't find it applied to words. There's a different concept that the Scriptures talks about with profanity, and I want you to understand the concept, and then we can understand its application. That way we don't get caught up with a single application of a very important concept. Yes, I will ruin the ending for you right now. Language is included, but it's not the only thing. And I want you to understand why bad language is profanity. Okay, so let's start off with what we have in the New Testament. Profanity actually isn't talked about all that much in the New Testament. The particular word isn't used, at least not in the New American Standard. But in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9, we get a very clear picture that it is a bad thing. So it says, and let's start in verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers. And he goes on from there, and you get it, you see the list, and you say, okay, I get this much. Profanity, being profane, that's bad. That is actually the only time in the New American Standard the word's used in the New Testament. The Greek word is used a few other times. We'll talk about that in a second. Really, the subject of profanity lives in the Old Testament. It's obviously part of the New Testament, but it's the Old Testament that talks all about it. If you think about what we had just read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, you tell me, is Paul trying to instruct us on what profanity is, or is he assuming that we have some concept of it? And since it's just in this list and there's no additional information, I'm assuming he has this assumption about us. That we have looked in the Old Testament and we have heard this language used enough times that we have an idea what he's talking about. And indeed, in the Old Testament, profanity is used many times. And it's generally, the idea behind it is to pollute, to violate, to use as fruit, to pierce. Those seem like kind of odd translations, right? Odd definitions. New American Standard gets it, though, what I really want you to understand, and that is threshold. Permitted to trample. Profanity means what you trample on. It means what's worth walking over and nothing more. And thus, it's also translated as godless, profane. What it really means is it's taking something that is holy, something that is special, and treating it like dirt. Treating it like something that is common and not special. So I want to show that to you in the Old Testament. And if you will permit me, we're going to look at several passages to get this concept. I really want you to see it, so that you can then, in the New Testament, start applying it in multiple areas and to consider the areas that I have submitted it in. So let's look at some of these illustrations. We're going to start off in Lamentations. We're going to spend some time in the Old Testament here for a second. But in the book of Lamentations, chapter 2 and verse 2, I want you to see that God profanes something. The Lord has swallowed up, he has not spared, all the inhabitants, all the habitations of Jacob. In his wrath he has thrown down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. So here God is profaning. And what it's talking about is this is God's special people, a people of covenant. They were lofty, they were lifted up, and he took them and knocked them down to the ground, to the dirt. And that was profaning them, taking them which was special and now making them destroyed and ruined and not special. So we see God profaning in this case. But then we see God warning us about doing it with the things that He has made special. And so let's look at several examples here. So let's start off in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. It says, "Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They've made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." So he says, here's the problem the priests are having. They can't make a distinction now between what is really good in God's eyes and what isn't. And as a result, that is the profanity. They are taking something that is holy and treating it as filth. They're taking something as filth and they're treating it as holy. That is profanity. And so then we go back to Leviticus. And I do apologize, we're going to jump back and forth a little bit. But Leviticus chapter 19, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Now when you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and the next day. But what remains until the third day shall be burned with fire. So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an offense. It will not be accepted. Everyone who eats it will bear his iniquity, for he has profaned the holy things of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people." So here's an interesting example where there's a sacrifice that's offered. And he says, okay, that sacrifice is for you. It's for food, but it's special. And you've got to treat it as special, which means you can eat it today and you can eat it tomorrow, but it's not like your other food. It's not meant to be leftovers. It's meant to be special. And so if you then eat it on the third day, you've treated it like everything else and you have profaned the sacrifice. You have nullified it. You're still in your iniquities. Okay, so back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 23. Verses 38 through 39. He says, "Again, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slaughtered their children for their idols, they entered my sanctuary on the same day to profane it. And lo, thus they did within my house." And so here he's saying, you have profaned me by worshiping me on the same day that you worship other gods. So I am not a special god. I'm just another god. You've treated me like everything else, and thus you have profaned me by treating me as common as everything else. And Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. Nehemiah laments the fact that the people have profaned the Sabbath. This is a day that God has set aside, that they would rest on this day, but they treat it like every other day. So guess what that makes it? That's profanity. Treating this day like every other day. And so it says, "In those days I saw in Judah some who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sacks of grain and loading them on donkeys as well as wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, and they brought them into Jerusalem." Now is there anything wrong with any of that? Everything there was just fine until the next words. On the Sabbath day. "So I admonished them on the day they sold food, and also men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day?'" Your profanity is that you took the Sabbath and you did something on it you shouldn't do. Something that's perfectly fine on every other day, but this isn't every other day. You just treated it like every other day. And so you took something holy and lofty and great and wonderful and precious in God's eyes, and you treated it like every other day, and that was profane. And so then Ezekiel 13 and verse 19, it talks about the profanity of not understanding proper value of life in this case. It says, "For handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you have profaned me to my people to put to death some who should not die and to keep others alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies." And so here we see this idea of treating every life as though it is equal. And so you have some people who have done things worthy of death, and you treat them like the people that are worthy of living. And there are other people who have lived in such a way worthy of life, and you treat them like those who are worthy of death. And so you have thus profaned, because you have treated what is holy as equal with that which is filth, with that which is wicked. And so then you think about Daniel, and I just included this, and you might remember that a few weeks ago, we actually had a sermon very similar to this. We're just following it up in a different way. I did a sermon on holiness. This is really the same sermon from a different direction. There is treating something as holy, and when you fail to treat what is holy, what you are doing is you are profaning it. And so in Daniel chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, you have this Babylonian king who takes the artifacts from the temple and treats them not like they were great and wonderful and should be exalted and not touched and not seen by anybody but a priest, but instead treats them like common utensils and drinks from them. And it is not a surprise then that very night God says, all right, that's it, you're done, and the whole kingdom falls that night, because they took something holy, something really holy and sacred and consecrated, and treated it like silverware. All right. Do you get the concept? Do you get the idea? So then when we get to the New Testament, I said that this word that's translated profane this one time, it's used other times, but it's talked about as being worldly, as being something that is just commonplace, something that is on the earth and fleshly. And so Paul uses it frequently in that regard, and that's how it's translated in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, have nothing to do with worldly fables. And in chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. That is profane things. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16, he says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter. So we see it those multiple times in that way. In Hebrews 12 and verse 16, we see it in the way that we're talking about very clearly, because it talks about ungodly, or you could have just as easily translated that as profane Esau. And why was he profane? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, what it says is, see to it, this is from the previous verse, but that there be no immoral or godless, profane person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. He was given something precious in God's eyes. He was given a birthright. He was given an inheritance, and he treated it as nothing more than a common meal. That's how much it was worth to him. And so that made him ungodly. That made him profane. So with that in mind, now understand profanity. And apply this principle and get it. And yes, let's start off with language. Profanity of speech. The Bible may not, and the New Testament, and the New American Standard, may not use the exact term for this, but it does get the same concept. Because it tells us about the inappropriate speech. And notice that terminology, inappropriate. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 refers to our speech that is unwholesome. It is not appropriate for the circumstance. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You go down to chapter 5 and verse 4, there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So yeah, it talks about filth, and it talks about unwholesome. And in a sense, yes, that is profane. But really, the idea behind it is inappropriate speech to come from you, because you're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be precious. You're supposed to be of great value. And you must not treat your speech like dirt. James kind of illustrates this fairly well. In James chapter 3, this is that famous passage about the tongue. Now, it is sets the world on fire, and it's so difficult to control. But notice this conflict he has, the inappropriate speech that was coming from their tongues. In verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth came both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. It's language that's inappropriate for that mouth. We used to say things like, do you kiss your mother with that mouth, right? Because we were saying that's such dirty things that are coming from your lips. Do you then attach those lips to your wonderful, precious mother? What you are saying about your mother by doing that. Is that not the profanity, though? Do you worship God with those lips? So the Bible doesn't give us the list. Here's the words that need to be bleeped. Here's the words that you must not say. That's not the way we're supposed to think about it. We're supposed to think about it as, what are the words that are appropriate to come from a mouth that would worship God? And if I am here to worship God, then I must not treat my language as common. And I want you to get past the idea of particular words. Because I'm not saying, okay, Jared just said all particular words are okay. That's not what I was saying. But if you manage to say the exact same thing as somebody in the world has said, but you just avoided some of the foul language they used, did you really do anything different? You said the same things. You may not have used those unacceptable words, but you used just as filthy concepts, filthy language. And then you're going to come together on Sunday and talk about how great God is and praise Him and glorify Him all week long? That is the profanity. Treating God inappropriately in our speech. But do you see that's not where this list should stop? That it should go beyond that. And we should stop and think, what do I have that is sacred? That is holy, that is precious, that should be treated as revered, as great, as wonderful, and not as common and dirt and filth. Well, I think we could give one example, and that is the Lord's Supper. We commemorate something of tremendous value to us. We remember a sacrifice in which Jesus died on the cross. So tell me then, with our definition and with our understanding, even though it's never declared this, you tell me if this is accurate or not. What was it then when the Corinthians took this meal of commemorating something incredibly holy and precious and righteous and treated it like an everyday meal? And that's what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 22, it talks about how they weren't partaking of the Lord's Supper at all because it is just a normal meal for them. Instead, what they had done is they had despised those who had nothing. For in your eating, one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? And this I will not praise you. If you understand the concept of profaning something, they have profaned the Lord's Supper by making it just common. Does it make sense then why he would go on to say, you eat and drink judgment to yourself? They had done something truly horrendously bad. For them it was just, hey, it's a good time. We're all having a lot of food. This is great. But they had done something awful. Should we stop there? What about the church? The church is exceedingly precious in God's eyes, is it not? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 30, the comparison is made between husband and wife and the Lord and the church. And it is that Jesus loves the church, and he cherishes the church, and he provides for the church, and he cleanses the church. The church is holy and sacred and important, crucial in God's eyes. So what happens when we treat it like common things? What happens when we treat it like a club? I come when it's convenient for me. I come when it's on occasion. Is that treating it as something that is truly precious and holy in God's eyes? What happens if we disrespect the positions that God has given us in it? In Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 12, it talks about how Jesus is the one who has given the positions of apostles and prophets and elders. He's the one who gives us these positions. What if we then say we don't need them? We don't want elders anymore. There have been churches who have rejected the very concept of elders. And you know what that is? That is profanity. That is taking something holy, something that is a gift from God, and it is treating it like it is dirt. Or how about if we consider in John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, when Jesus comes to the temple, and what does he find? He finds that they've taken this holy temple and they turned it into a place of business. There's nothing wrong with business, but there is something wrong with teaching and treating the Lord's temple that way. They had changed its purpose. They had made it common. What had they done? They had profaned it. And so you see Jesus' attitude as he kicks everybody out. So what is it when we take this church, this organization that God has created, this body, which is to be the pillar and support of the truth, and we turn it into a place of entertainment? What is it when we change its purpose and its role and its place in the world, and we make it like every other charitable organization or every other place of entertainment or every other business or anything else? What is it we have done? Something we certainly should not have. Should we stop there? I should stop asking you that, because you might be thinking, yeah, Jared, I've had enough of this sermon. We've got the idea. No, I got two more points I want to make. I want you to consider our bodies. Your body is fearfully and wonderfully made, is it not? That's what the Bible tells us. Your body is a gift from God, and it is precious. So much so that in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, it says, you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Your body is precious. You want to talk about profanity. In the Old Testament, one of the things it talks about frequently, Leviticus 19:29, chapter 21, verse 7, and verse 14, in these three different places, what it's saying is profaning someone's body through prostitution. Taking their body and making it worth nothing more than a little bit of money. But do you really think it was the money that profaned the body? It was really taking the body and making it worth nothing more than just some pleasure and no real significance or meaning. And so then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is emphasizing that is so inappropriate. Your body is not yours, it is God's, and it must be treated as such. And so he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Do you think the issue is money? That the sexual relationship involves money, is that the issue? No, because he even goes on and he talks about the immoral person. It's not about the money, it's about the way you're treating someone's body. It's about the way you're treating your body, and that is about the way you're treating Christ. Because it's his body. And so the sexual relationship is meant to be pure and holy. It's meant to be between a husband and a wife, and only between a husband and a wife. And anything that treats it differently is profane and inappropriate in the sight of God. Oh, what a situation we find ourselves in a world in which virginity is no longer considered holy and precious and something to be proud of, but instead something to be ashamed of. It is a failure. It is not just this prostitution. It is the way that we treat our bodies. It is the way that we think about it in our society. And I submit perhaps we should consider whether it is any different with the idea of pornography, when we then look at other people's bodies as though they are nothing of significance just for pleasure. And we treat ourselves and them in that way. That is profanity. And the last one I want you to consider is just your life in general. What has God given you that is of great precious value? Is it not our life? And our life can be described, really, our life is really time. We talk about when you were born and when you die. And what is life? It's everything in between. And it is what we're supposed to be offering up to God. That passage, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Glorify God in your body. That's in your life, in your time. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we're supposed to offer up a holy and living sacrifice. That's in our life. So if our life is meant to be holy and precious, if our life indeed is holy and precious, what is it when we treat it like nothing? When we waste it? What is our life if we are lazy? What is our life if we spend it in selfishness rather than in the abundance of good deeds? What is it that we have done with this precious thing that God has given us? We are told in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, we're told to make the most of your time because the days are evil. Your time is short, and so what time you have is so precious. Do you use it in a way that honors the gift that God has given you, or do you use it in such a way that treats it like dirt and filth? It is for your consideration. It is for your testing. And I suggest that perhaps we not stop there, but consider, what else do you have that is of great value to you or to God, and do you profane it? Because profanity, if there's one thing we see with great clarity from 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9, profanity is a bad thing. Let us avoid it. I hope that this helps give you deeper meaning and deeper understanding to the concept of profanity. I hope it helps you as you strive to have a pure speech, that you will understand it better and not just be looking for particular words, but look for something deeper, something that's appropriate for a person who would glorify God. And I hope that you will strive in all things to honor the things that God has given us, and the way that we talk about it and the way that we live in every aspect of our lives. May we honor what is honorable and not treat it like dirt. Thank you for your time and for your attention. If there are any who are not Christians, we offer you an opportunity to save your precious soul, to have your sins washed away through an incredible sacrifice. Jesus died and shed his blood for you. He knocks on the door of your heart. He wants you to come forward, and we encourage you to do so. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, Jesus is just as much knocking on the door of your heart. He wants you back. How long will you make him stand outside and knock? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Would you